You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Midrash of the Week podcast. In the 37th chapter of the book of Yechezkel, we have the famous prophecy of the dry bones. Right? Most of you are probably familiar with it. To briefly summarize, Yechezkel is brought out to a valley which is full of bones, and the bones are very, very old, the psukim emphasize. And Hashem asks Yechezkel, do you think that these bones can live? And Yechezkel says, only you know, Hashem. And Hashem tells Yechezkel to prophesy to the bones, and the bones come together, the hip bones connected to the leg bones connected to the foot bone, they all come together, skin is put upon them, they arise, the breath of life is breathed into them, and they stand up on their legs, chel gadol me'od me'od, right, a great group of people. And Hashem explains, "Vayomer elai ben Adam, ha'atzamot ele kol beit Yisrael hema hine omrim yavshu atzmotenu ve'avda tikvatenu." Right, the reference to this pasuk from Hatikva is clear. Od lo avda tikvatenu nigzarnu lanu. Right, the people were saying, "Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost." Lachen hinabe ve'amarta lehem ko amar Hashem Elohim, hine ani poteach kivrotechem v'ha'aleti etchem mikivrotechem ami. Right? Hashem says, this is Am Yisrael, this is the future of Am Yisrael. You will be brought up from your graves, you will once again live. Right? A famous prophecy. As when everyone is trying to understand any prophecy, it helps to get some sort of context. Right? What was Yechezkel addressing with this prophecy? Now clearly it has to do with the Galut and the Korban, but what exact issue is he addressing? Now this question is addressed, at least indirectly, by the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right, Daf Ayin Bet Amud Bet. The context of the Gemara, which is less significant for our podcast today, is an ongoing discussion about the biblical source for Tchiyat HaMitim. Right, whether or not there is a pasuk in the Tanakh that from which we can learn the idea of Tchiyat HaMitim, of resurrection of the dead. And the more immediate context is a conversation within that conversation about Tchiyat HaMitim, in which the question is asked why this prophecy from the book of Yechezkel, which clearly depicts the idea of Tchiyat HaMitim, is not used as a proof, not even so much for Tchiyat HaMitim, but for a particular thing that they're trying to prove within the discussion of whether once the dead have been resurrected during Tchiyat HaMitim, during the resurrection, will they once again die? Right? Which we will see in a moment is one of the opinions in this Gemara. Right? So the question is whether the story can be used to prove that or not. Right? So let's take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Bet Amud Bet. There are a lot of opinions here, some which are more and some less important for what we are going to learn today, so some of it I will summarize and some of it we will read inside. Ditanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Meitim Shechaya Yechezkel, Amdu al Raglehem, Ve'amru Shirava Meitu. Rabbi Eliezer says, the dead that Yechezkel revived stood up on their feet, sang a song, and died. Right? They were, according to Rabbi Eliezer, actually resurrected. Right, when Yechezkel had this prophecy, although it was for a very short time, right? They sang a song and they died. Mashira Amru, what did they sing? Hashem meimit betzedek u'michayeh berachamim, right? That Hashem compassionately resurrects the dead. Rabbi Yehoshua, Omer, Shira zo Amru, Hashem meimit u'michayeh morit sha'ol v'yal, right? The same idea, but he quotes a pasuk from the book of Shmuel, from the song of Chana, right? The idea that Hashem revives those whom Hashem had caused to die. Right, so according to these two opinions, an actual resurrection occurred during the prophecy of Yechezkel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Emet Mashal Haya. Right, and this is explained later on by in the next sentence of Rabbi Nehemiah. Rabbi Nehemiah, that, what does that mean? Emet Mashal Haya? Be'emet Mashal Haya. Right? No, the prophecy of Yechezkel was really a mashal, right? A parable, a metaphor. Nobody was actually revived. There weren't any bones that actually came back to life. Right? It was all rather a vision, which was meant to be understood as a metaphor for, right, the resurrection of the nation, right? But not that anybody was actually resurrected when this vision was taking place. Rabbi Eliezer, Benosha Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Omer, Metim Shechia Yicheskel, Aluli Eretz Yisrael, Vinasu Nashim, Vaholidu Banim Vanot. So Rabbi Eliezer, Benosha Rabbi Yossi Haglili, seemingly is supporting the idea that there was an actual resurrection here, right? These people were revived. They made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. They got married. They had children, right? So these were actual people who were actually revived. They actually were brought back to life, and they went on to live lives. Unlike what Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua said, where they just lived momentarily, these people actually lived their lives. Then Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, Amad Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera al Raglav ve'amar ani miben b'nehem. Right, he emphatically says, "I am from their children's children." Right, I am a third generation of these people. V'halalu tefillin shehenichu li avi abba mehem. And here in my hand are the tefillin that my grandfather gave me from them. Right, once again, at least, it seems that Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera is supporting this idea, possibly that these were actual people, and here is the physical proof in my hand. The Gemara then goes on to try to understand, okay, who were these bones, right? It seems that this is according to the opinion that says that there was somebody who was actually revived, but possibly even not. Maybe even if it was just in a vision, was there a specific real existing bunch of bones that Yechezkel was seeing? Who were these bones that Yechezkel revived? Well, it would seem that this is the opinion of that he actually revived something. Amar Rav, hey elu b'nei Ephraim shemanu laketz v'ta'u. Right, so Rav says these were the b'nei Ephraim shemanu laketz v'ta'u. They predicted the time of the ketz. In this case, talking about the time of redemption from Egypt, right? For Yitzhak Mitzrayim v'ta'u, when they made a mistake. Shine Amar uv'nei Ephraim shutalach uvered v'no v'tachat b'no v'elada v'no v'tachat b'no v'zavad b'no v'shutalach b'no v'ezer v'ela elazar v'haragum anshei gat hanoladim ba'aretz uchti v'yitabel Ephraim avihem yamim rabim v'yavo echav v'nachamo. Right, we don't have time to go into it fully right now, but there's this very ambiguous, enigmatic pasuk in Divrei HaYamim Aleph, which, if you look at the Mefarshim, seems to imply that there were people from the tribe of Ephraim who left Egypt earlier than everybody else, right before the Yitziat Mitzrayim, and they were killed by the people of Gat, right, the people who lived in the city of Gat, right, which is in, among the Arei Plishim, the city of the Plishtim, in Israel, in Eretz Israel. And that Ephraim, their father, mourned for them, right? So again, this is a very enigmatic pasuk, but this is how the Mefarshim understand it, that there was this like pre-Yitziat Mitzrayim, when these people from Ephraim went out and they were killed by the people of Gat. According to Rashi, if you look at the Rashi on this, he says that this is the battle, that this is what is referred to when it says that Hashem, Parshat Beshalach, that Hashem didn't take Bnei Israel derech Eretz Plishtim, right, because he was afraid that they would see that there had been a battle there, or is a battle there, and would want to turn around, right, according to Rashi's understanding, that's what this is referring to, that there had been a battle there, right, that Bnei Ephraim had lost, right, and that and Hashem was afraid that Bnei Israel would be scared off by this and want to go back to Mitzrayim, right? So back to our what's going on here, when they lost this battle, it seems that their bones were left on the battlefield, and that according to Rav are the bones that Bnei Israel that Yechezkel is seeing in this vision. Just to remind you, those of you who have been following the podcast for a while might recall that the story of Bnei Ephraim came up in the Midrash that we learned about Serach Bad Asher, right, where there too, this Kenim came to Serach and asked if Moshe was really the one who was supposed to redeem them, because they were afraid that there was going to be another mistake, because the Bnei Ephraim had already made a mistake when they left Mitzrayim earlier, right, and they went to Serach because they knew that Serach understood the secret of the Gula, right? That there's a when the Gula was supposed to happen, right? Just for those of you who heard that podcast, to remind you, right? And see, you can see how this will link up together with this midrash that we're seeing today. So according to Rav, it's their bones that they saw. Ushmuel Amar, Elo bnei Adam shekafru b'tchiyat amitim. Right? He says, no, it's the bones of people who did not believe in resurrection. Right? So I guess it's sort of like a way of teaching them a lesson. Right? They will be resurrected in this vision. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar, Elo bnei Adam she'en behem lichluchit shel mitzvah. Right? No, these are people who are all dried up, Rabbi Yirmiyah says. Who's all dried up? No one who has the slightest bit of mitzvot in them. Right? They are the ones who are dried up. Rabbi Yitzchak Napachas Amar, Elo bnei Adam she'chipu et ha'echal kulo shkatzim u'remasim. Right? Again, I'm summarizing here. People who covered the Beit HaMikdash with shkatzim u'remetzim, all these disgusting things, and this is learned out from another pasuk somewhere else in Yechezkel, which links up linguistically to the prophecy here, right? Going through this quickly. And last opinion, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Elu Meitim Shebivigat Dura. And he goes on to explain that in Bigat Dura, there were the remains of these bachurim, right? These young men who were killed off by Nebuchadnezzar, right? Don't have time to go into that whole story right this moment, right? But quoting an historical event that occurred, that it must be their bones that were filling up this valley that Yechezkel saw. So back to our midrash. Let's try to make sense of some of these different suggestions made in the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak Nipacha's opinion and that of Rabbi Yochanan, right? They suggest two different contemporary suggestions, contemporary to the days of Yechezkel, right? The dead of Bikat Dura, right, who were killed by Nebuchadnezzar, or the wrongdoers, the sinners that are mentioned by Rabbi Yitzchak Nipacha, right? These are things that took place during the time of Yechezkel, right? So one could understand why they bring in these possibilities, right? There were these traditions about these people who were killed for one reason or another during that time period. So perhaps they're suggesting that is who Yechezkel saw. Shmuel and Rabbi Yirmiyah, right, do not mention specific incidents, but they also they bring along relevant chotim, right? People who did things that were wrong that somehow are relevant or connected to what the message that Yechezkel was trying to convey, suggesting that perhaps these were the bones, these were the people who were resurrected during this prophecy. Rav's opinion is a little different. He too, right, tries to think of an incident that occurred that would have resulted in a lot of bones in one place, right? Like Rabbi Yochanan, right, who says that it was the bones of Bigat Dura. But the difference is that Rabbi Yochanan's suggestion makes less sense historically, right? Meaning, why would it be that Yechezkel would be looking specifically at these bones, right? Something that happened basically in ancient history, even even in Yechezkel's time, right? Why would he be looking at these bones? It happened during the time that of people who had died during the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim, prior to Yitziat Mitzrayim. Like, how is this at all connected to Yechezkel? Although I will say an aside that perhaps it is in part inspired by the fact that, according to the prophecy, these bones were very dry and therefore very old. So maybe Dafke he was looking for bones that were very old. But what is the connection to Yechezkel? What's the connection to the audience that Yechezkel is addressing? Right? What's the connection to what is going on in that perek? Why would he mention specifically those bones? Now, as I mentioned earlier, right, these bones refer to the Bnei Ephraim, right, from that enigmatic pasuk from Divrei Yamim, who left Mitzrayim early. Those Bnei Ephraim, like, what is the meaning of that story? What's gleaned from that story? And also, for those of you who heard the other podcast, right, these were the B'nai Ephraim who left early, who didn't understand when the Geulah was supposed to be. Their timing was off. So in other words, the B'nai Ephraim had made the mistake of trying to push the Geulah. They were impatient, right? They didn't understand that although one has to be ready to leave at any moment, right, when the time is right, one must always have the motivation to go, have the readiness to go, but one has to wait for the right moment. Right, but they jumped the gun. Right, they left when it was too soon. Right, they misunderstood when the Geulah was supposed to happen. Now, what does this have to do with Yechezkel and the bones? Right, Yechezkel lives and prophesies, lived and prophesied during the time of Chorban Bayit. Right, but he had gone out with the first set of exiles. Right, during Galut Yehoyachin, which was about 11 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, right, which took place in 586 BCE. So this prophecy, right, the prophecy of the dry bones, seems to be from the period after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, right? Yechezkel and those who went out with him have been out in Galut already for 11 years. And now Yechezkel's main job, now that the worst has happened, his main job is to comfort them, like many other prophets do. Right, later on in their career, so to speak, and his audience, right, is already weary from the various stages of exile and destruction, and they're hopeless already at this point that their situation will ever change. Right, and truth is, even without those 11 years, it's clear if you read through the book of Eicha and other related sources that when the Chorban happened, right, people didn't know. They didn't understand it necessarily the way that we understand it now, that it was something that happened because of our sins and it was reversible eventually, right? They wondered whether God had left them for good, if they were ever going to be able to come back. So like the bones in the prophecy, right, the people are saying, Yavsha atzmotenu avda tikvatenu, right? The people had given up hope, right? They didn't dare to believe that anything could change, and they seemed to have given up hope that anything would ever change. And this prophecy, Yechezkel's prophecy, was meant to teach them to have faith and to be patient. Right? It might seem that all is lost, that there is no glimmer of hope, but Yechezkel says even dried up bones can be revived. Right? And so Rav's comment implies that the people needed to learn from the mistake of the B'nai Ephraim, right, not to be impatient. Right? The redemption will come in the right time. They need to look out for it, but not to rush it, right? And not to lose hope if it seems slow in coming. It will come, even if it doesn't seem like it at the moment. On this note, I want to go back for a moment to the other opinions in the Gemara. It seems to me that perhaps the greatest meaning can be gleaned from the opinions in the Gemara, not from what they say, or not only what they say, but by taking a look at who said them. Right? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, right? Who were they? They were Tanaim from the second generation, right? Students of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. And in fact, these were the two men who had sneaked Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai out of Yerushalayim in a coffin when Yerushalayim was doomed and they realized that it was going to be destroyed. They took him out secretly in a coffin from Yerushalayim so that he would be able to restart Jewish life in Yavne. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda Stam is Rabbi Huda Bar Ilai, was a student of Rabbi Akiva, right? Who was he? He's the student who was credited with reviving Torah study after the decrees that were clamped down on Am Yisrael after the Bar Kokhba revolt, right? So he's one of the rabbis who was most credited with the revival of Torah study. Rabbi Eliezer ben Oshra, Rabbi Yosef Glili was from that same generation, as was Rabbi Nechemia. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, right, the one who said that he's the third generation of the revived bones and received the tefillin from his grandfather, he was the grandson of a man who was also known as Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. And that the original Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera was a first generation Tana who lived during the time of the Mikdash and lived during the time of the Chorban. Right? So think about who these people were. These were all people who were descendants of people who had survived Chorban, survived destruction, or people who they themselves were responsible, were credited with the revival of Jewish life after a terrible after a terrible destruction. So when we read this prophecy of Yechezkel, particularly during this week, right, the week between Yom HaShoah and Yom HaTzmaut, many of us, for obvious reasons, create our own little midrashic interpretations, right? It's hard not to feel that we are living in a time when this prophecy has been fulfilled. And I think one particularly feels this, those of us living in Israel during this time period. And when we do this, right, we are really following in the footsteps of these rabbis, right, that are quoted in this Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, when they say that, you know, that these bones were bones that were revived briefly to sing a song, right, they were saying what their opinion was in terms of how to understand the pshat of the prophecy, how to understand what the meaning of the words mean, but clearly, right, they also saw that the prophecy, right, complete with, you know, its impressive visual aids of a resurrection, was a prediction, right, a metaphor for what was to come. You know, is it possible that they missed the relevance to what they themselves had done? And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira and Rabbi Eliezer ben Osh Rabbi Yossi Aglili, I had said initially that their comments seemed to indicate that they agreed that they agreed with those who say the bones were actually revived, right? That these were living people, and there is physical proof to show they were living people. But perhaps they actually agree with Rabbi Yehuda, who saw that the Yechezkel's prophecy was only a metaphor, right? That it was a metaphor, that Yechezkel himself didn't actually revive anybody, but it was a metaphor for something that would happen to the future. And the actual human beings that they were referring to, the ones who got married and had children, or whose tefillin they were holding, were more recent events that they had seen with their own eyes, or their father or grandfather had seen with their own eyes. The message of all of these people, right, the rabbis who were responsible for the Jewish revival, the bones, right, whether the ones from Bavel or the ones from the concentration camps who were revived, who moved to Eretz Yisrael, who went on to live full lives, right, the message is the same from all of these sources, that even when things are dried up, when the bones are seemingly dry beyond repair, right, when all hope is lost, right, the redemption is still possible. That seems, regardless of which opinion you go by, that seems to be the underlying message of this entire Gemara. Wishing you all Chag Atzmaut Sameach.